What's going on, man?
Not much. Been a busy, you know, couple years since I've been here last.
It's been a while since you've been here. You haven't been in the official studio.
No.
Which is great to have you in the studio. Because you had a part to do with this studio.
A little bit.
You had a good part. I came up to you, and then you were nice enough. You had this wood here, and then I did what I did with this wood, and then you also recommended the stain of the sound wave there, and that was lots of fun. You gave me a little quart-sized sample of it, and we went through your shop, and you were showing me different Q-Tech products, and then you were like, you should definitely go with this one. And look at it. It looks amazing. I love it, man. It's great.
It looks wild. Every time I watch the show, I'm just like, oh,
there it is. It's right there. I'm a huge fan of Q-Tech. How long have you, like, known about Q-Tech?
Known about it? Probably since about 2011, in around just maybe about the end of 2010.
When did they first penetrate the market here?
They've been a North American market here.
See how I did mostly, that? Penetrate the market?
Penetrate. There you go. Ooh, that's kind of punny. for about 10, almost 12 years now, they very soft start. Started out as a local retail area and then just sort of organically grew here in Canada and has been having a real good saturation into the market.
It's going to be a bunch of puns on this one. But no, I actually like that they did it that way instead of just doing this massive launch, because I think North America has this certain mindset when it comes to protecting wood. And I never really felt that it was the perfect mindset until, honestly, Q-Tech came along. And when I first used it, I was like, come on, man. Like, this is a no-brainer when you're looking at it. And it's the sample pieces. And you see that how it actually saturates right into the wood. And we got a lot of that when we're doing the Made a Barn, when we're doing all the application up at Timber Kits. We saw it on site. Like, it was just all the questions were being answered. And everybody realized how good this product is for your wood and how long it's going to last. And then we're going to get into it. That's what this whole show is going to be about, Q-Tech, and about your information regarding Q-Tech. Let me just do the quick shout outs here. So obviously Q-Tech, there's a bunch of salt. You can find them all over, starting with Q-Tech Australia. There's Q-Tech North America. There's going to be a Q-Tech Canada soon. Yeah. There's the websites as well, which is just Q-Tech. Is it Q-Tech.com?
Q-TechStain.com.
Stain.com, okay. Yeah. And then what's your official title, John?
I work in business development with here in Q-Tech Canada and Q-Tech North America, I guess, working in that, just out spreading the word and helping out in technical capabilities. So my big prime focus is I help pre-finishing companies get up and going and be successful and efficient with the product. Not to mention help with builders and anywhere along the line, just promoting the good news about Q-Tech.
And you do that a lot with your own social media handle, which is Start Wood Right, right? So Start Wood Right.
Yeah.
And then you can see a lot of the stuff that you're going on. And I know that you've reposted some of our stuff as well too there. But it's nice to finally see a stain application get the treatment no different than if you're building fine furniture. That's pretty much.
A lot of very similar comparisons in that application. There's another one.
There's a bunch.
It's a little bit different than what's on the norm right now in the market. So we go about it in a bit of a different approach to, instead of having an encapsulation that are protection or a protective barrier that goes around the outside of the wood, instead Q-Tech penetrates really deep.
Yep.
And then protects the wood from moisture infiltration by regulating everything inside, but protecting from the inside out. It has very unique qualities that have a self-healing effect, that if there's damage on the surface, the oil will actually want to drive to that damaged area and protect it, so you're not having moisture coming in. Just something different, like the opposite, where that film forming protection, everything breaks down outside. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, because Mother Nature, UV.
UV, seasonal. We've got water, we've got damage, we've got dust, we've got mold, we've got traffic, name it. It's a tough place to keep wood out there. The building material itself, it's dynamic. It's always constantly moving. It's not static. It's has a constant ongoing relation with moisture. So it's expanding, it's contracting. This works with it in that aspect, and it does probably one of the most closest things to mimic the same protection the natural oils that the wood would have by itself. But over time, it through erosion, through water, that natural oil, it wears away. In this case, once the oil's in there, it acts and protects in that sort of same way. It's not producing any more oil anymore because it's now a sawn product. So yeah. It's no longer a living tree or an organism. It's just slowly making its way back to the carbon cycle.
How long has Q-Tech been around in Australia?
It's been around for pretty near, I've been saying 30 years plus for quite a number of years now. So I'm going to say it's close to 35 plus years in Australia, New Zealand area.
Would it have been a challenge for them coming to North America and having to deal? Because obviously with Australia, they would have had extreme heats, but they would never had the extreme colds. You come to Canada, you start getting the extreme colds. And also the northeast of America, you get the extreme colds, right?
Absolutely. So like in Australia, it's can be a dry, very hot, arid, some and tropical.
Yeah.
In some places all over. It's got a very vast climate range all through the whole entire area. Not to mention also has a crazy giant hole in the ozone above it. So if you're talking about any type of solar degradation, it happens there. And they love their wood. Composites are just something that are coming into the mainstream there now. So they're
really
they're
I don't see that standard surviving. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
right.
It has its place, but their common decking materials down there are what we are our exotics. So they have all these beautiful gum woods that are down there, and they're all hardwood decking. It's the majority of what they have, and it's a challenge to keep that. Material like it's probably quite costly. I don't know the cost comparisons are they are, but to keep it maintained and viable so it's not becoming falling to the wayside in a disposable aspect. Like, unfortunately, our culture has really enveloped.
there's an issue with the material. Get rid of the material and then put a new material instead of try to preserve the material and make the material last.
That's right. Yeah, just by maintaining what we have. Like, we're put here to be caretakers of these things, and if you look after this material, it will look after you in return. It's a very simple relationship. Just
no, but there's nothing more soothing, John, than like the pleasing nature of looking at wood. And it could be the first day, it could be the last day of that wood, and you're like, you're appreciating that wood, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every piece, it's unique. My most favorite place in the world in springtime, even I find myself staring out there longing at this time of the year on my front porch, beautiful front porch, and just looking at it and just, it's the uniqueness of every single piece. It's different, and it's beautiful. Like, there's something about it. It's a relationship we have. Like, you don't get that same feeling by, you know, putting your feet on metal, concrete.
Listen, I'll say it, composite. I've always had clients, I've done jobs, I've always suggested wood over composite. It's just because natural barefoot walking on wood and experiencing that on whatever season it is a lot more soothing to your body than walking over a composite. That's my opinion, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I get that North America is a composite materials supplier world. I get it, but I don't have to accept it.
I think everybody loves wood. And that's evident. And just look at all the composite products that are out there. They all have a wood grain. They all come in a wood tone. It was copied. They're all trying to aspire to be wood.
Yeah.
In these things, we've got everybody loves the wood. It's just there's a pain point, and it can be difficult sometimes to look after it. And with the ways that we've had up to this point, and this is one of the things that I felt really drawn to the Q-Tech product line is it makes it. Well, one, it's easy to use, but it's easy to use downstream and maintain. It's just something that it's not this big pain point of, oh my gosh, I got to sand.
I got to sand.
The stain's easy. That's the easiest part of all, is the prep work, is getting that prep down and having that constant substrate that you know will always come back. That's one of the really cool things that I really came to love about it, is it's like, oh, it's dirty and everybody's freaking out, and I go by and you just wash it, and then it comes back and they go, what'd you do? I just washed it.
I just
took the dirt off.
Exactly.
It's in the means of a deck, it's a room. That's yours. Imagine your kitchen floor, drop your walls, drop your roof. What would that look like in a week? You know, 2 weeks,
yeah,
a month, 6 months. And like, oh, I got to do my deck once a year. You're doing your kitchen floor every couple weeks.
You're cleaning. Well, technically, you're cleaning your house every single week. Then you're maintaining your flooring or whatever. You could be remodeling every so many years.
Yeah.
So why are we so disregarding of the decking outside? Like, you can always bring it back to life, but you could always have it start a certain way. And that's where it goes back to me talking about the made of barn, because we got a chance to use pine. We got a chance to use Douglas fir.
Mm-hmm.
And just the reaction right off the bat, like when I saw it going in and it was getting coated, and then it came out and it started saturating through the material, you let it sit, and then when it got on site, you've seen that it's all saturated into the material now. The material looks gorgeous now. The grain is popping. But then what was the best thing, and that's why I was walking around, is that you're in the elements. So we were dealing with rain, snow, and you started this pooling effect now, but you started seeing the protection of that wood regarding what that material was doing. Like the Q-Tech was protecting that wood now, and you can clearly see that it was doing that.
Keeps that extra moisture out. Like, it helps regulate that. And especially in these northern climates, like where Australia doesn't necessarily, don't get me wrong, they get down in New Zealand, they'll get it cool.
Yeah.
They're not getting, what was our cold range here last couple of weeks?
Minus 17 or minus whatever. 17. And that's Celsius, that's cold. Everybody. Yeah, I know, yeah. I get it, right?
That's cold. You know, you get a saturated, the freeze-thaw cycles, that's absolutely brutal on wood. It warms up, absorbs moisture, and then it freezes. What does water do when it freezes? It expands. So it's pushing all that fiber apart, and it's going to start that premature checking.
Yep.
And it's going to open up more cavities for more water to get in, and it's just a vicious ongoing cycle to the point that it breaks down. And that's the unfortunate part about wood, but that's the cool part too, because that's what it's designed to do.
Yep.
It grows out of the ground, stores carbon, becomes an amazing, viable, uniquely dynamic building material we can use in all different means. But at the point we don't need it anymore and we start disregarding it or we put it to the wayside, it's designed to go right back into the soil and actually support life of new wood. What other product does that?
It doesn't. And I like that. Okay, off the top of your head, how many different colors do you have Q-Tech carries?
18.
18 different colors. 18 because I know, and what was the color of the sound wave there? It was blue.
Blue slate. Well, blue one slate. Of my favorites. This one here, this one really shows the blue in here.
It does.
On this one.
It comes out. And that's on a pine. That's a Scott pine.
Yeah, the thermally modified
Scott pine. Stuff. And same with this. So this is the original Scott pine, but this has the natural Q-Tech on it, right? I think it does, or no, I can't remember exactly.
That, I think, No,
I'm pretty sure you stained this.
Yeah, that was pre-finished. So that was actually, I guess, my original run at Startwood Right. I was just pre-oiled with a clear oil.
Yeah, and this is just a clear, so it's natural. Yeah. And since we're in a studio and there's no Mother Nature UV or elements or anything like that, this is always going to stay like this, right? Yeah. And even the landlords here, they even told me, listen, when you're ready to fold up shop or whatever.
Leave that.
They were fine with me taking down the sound wave. They get it. They're like, just paint that brick wall white again. But they're like, can you leave this? This has to stay. Take your sign.
Nice.
But leave this. And I was like, yeah, of course. Anybody who's going to move in here afterwards is going to appreciate that wood there, right?
We should line them up for a few more units done.
We should. It wasn't easy, I tell you that. It was hard, right? But it looks great.
It is. It looks great. Absolutely gorgeous. You want to come do my place next?
Safety Corner, your weekly guide to safer construction. Introducing Safety Corner, the latest must-watch show from the creators of The Construction Life. Co-hosted by safety expert Philip Farrar and powered by his S1 Safety Division, this 30-minute weekly series cuts through the noise to bring you real footage and raw insights from actual job sites. No fluff, just hard-hitting analysis, and Philip and myself break down what went right, what went wrong, and what could have gone catastrophically wrong. Each week, we tackle the biggest safety issues facing the industry today, sharing the knowledge every tradesperson needs to make it home safe. Whether you're on the job or managing the site, Safety Corner is here to help you build smarter, safer, and better. Tune in to revolutionize the way you approach safety on the job. Catch Safety Corner weekly because safety isn't just important, it's essential. But then, so 18 different colors, and that's what I like, is that you can still go this natural clear, but you have the freedom to add a little bit of hint to it, so then you can give your wood some character, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So where you can emphasize the grain and the colors that are there. The blue slate is actually one, along with some of the other white tones. Like we have a white wash and a smoky gray. Yeah, it's a big look one. Right now is trying to get that pre-aged look. So by working with the exterior UV, this actually expresses that function when it goes gray outside. So it helps a lot in a lot of architects will ask, you know, how do we keep this consistent throughout the whole entire area? What about the soffits or the northern side of the house that doesn't really get sun that's going to cause that solar degradation or the bleaching that happens to the surface? And this is actually a really good answer for it in some of those ones. It's been one of my favorite. I've been playing around with it for a little while now.
And I know lately, because when I was up at Timber Kit Center, I was talking a lot with Steve and we were experiencing the whole assembly line process, like black. Black has become more and more popular. But what I even liked even more than that was he was doing the burning of the wood and then he was clear coating it to protect it even further.
Yeah.
And I was like, that just makes more sense. Like
they've been using almost that technique. There's structures, and I'm probably going to, the Yokosugi, I believe, is
you're going 100, you're going centuries back.
Centuries back.
Yeah.
And there's still structures today that are standing that are over 1400 years old that were preserved in those techniques. Is one is the charring, and that's basically an extreme thermal modification of the wood cells for the outer layer, and that but they also then would oil it too, and that's like the oiling of wood that has been pretty much since the dawn of almost any type of recorded history, from Noah's Ark to Alexander the Great, have been
they've always been
oiling wood, like from olive oil and using anything, any type of an oil, because the wood through its life cycle absorbs water, does everything through photosynthesis, and then it creates oils and resins. When it's not living, it still needs those in order, and that was its self-preservation thing. So whether you're putting in a food-based vegetable oil, which is what the common one, we use a mineral-based oil. It's a petroleum product, oil is oil. Oil all originates from biological matter, any way you look at it.
Yep.
There's an abundance of it. It's been highly refined, and it's just taking these things, biological oils or vegetable-based oils, they do what vegetables do.
Yep.
They biodegrade. So to have long-term stability, there's been an answer within using these mineral or petroleum-based oils. It works, and that's where we've been finding. It's no secret. It's nothing new. It's just been sort of put to the side for quite a while, and here it is back again. It's that revolution of ingenuity of human. We're rediscovering what we always knew.
It's nice that it's getting its due credit now, right? And I don't really think that it's more time consuming. It depends on the species of wood that you select. It could be more expensive. But in my opinion, your project, whatever you're using it for, is going to last a lot longer for you. And if you maintain it, no different than you maintaining, like, listen, if you got natural stones in your bathroom, you need to still seal it. You need to still care for it, maintain it, take care of it. Otherwise, it will fall apart. It will discolor. It will go all kinds of things. But the same thing with wood. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Water will carry all sorts of contaminants, whether it's surface contaminants, biological contaminants, and it will travel wherever it can.
Yeah.
Nothing is immune to it. And giving anything that we really want to care and look after every fighting chance we can, that's the best we can do.
One of the best times on the Made of Barn project was when the client came up and they noticed some streaking, mm-hmm. some extra Q-Tec material that was seeping from the beams, right?
Yep.
And what I loved was literally taking a rag, wiping it off, and not removing what was already there. And what I mean by that, by the base. So it's not, traditionally we're so used to, if there's an excess of stain, you remove it, you go right down to bare wood now, and now you have to try to figure out how to faux finish that stain.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Q-Tec.
No, it is.
You wipe it off, it's clean. If there's excess, it's clean. And even if you scuff it,
yeah,
you've made a damage or whatever, something happens, machinery on the job site, something happens, it always happens. It's construction, right? Yep. You apply stain to that section, you repair it, it's still the same color.
Yeah. It's in most cases like that because, well, it doesn't have a traditional hardener in it, so it's not, it's left to penetrate as deep as possible. The whole function is getting into the wood. That's one of the benefits to it, is when it's reached that saturation point, if there's that little bit of extra on the top. When I've been there in the past with other things where I've done touch-ups, and I touch up and you can see that touch-up. And like, we're not completely immune to that. You know, if you come like months or weeks later, that's or something different. Like that.
Because your mother nature's already, it's starting to activate it.
Or yeah. You're stacking up layers and layers of pigment on the top, yeah. And on some of the higher. But in general, roundabout scenarios like that, because it doesn't have those hardeners, it gives a real long grace period for, especially when you're in a pre-finishing capacity where you have the siding there and it's delivered to site and they're putting it up, they want to do end cuts, or you know, they hit the face a little too hard with the hammer and it's damaged some of the wood. It's very graceful.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of forgiveness in those scenarios, which was really kind of nice, because when you're running with some other products and there's run marks on the side and you start seeing those things, you go to chip them off, or you bang one little surface on a log, like some of Steve's pergolas, some of the stories they had, they would go through, and you can't just do that little spot, you got to do that whole surface. So mm-hmm. by the time you've gone through and fixed all those things, you might as well have just done it on site.
Yeah.
Because, which was for them, they're the turning point when one of their first jobs, they would leave their touch-up guy on site. And I wish he was here. He tells the story so much better. The install crew would go back, and then 20 minutes later, their touch-up guy shows up behind him. And they go, hey, what'd you forget? Nothing. I went over the whole entire thing. There's nothing to touch up. And like, at worst case scenario, like we did on there, I just took my thumb and
it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
So there's... I don't know too many products that do that.
It's the only one. And what I do listen, it's when you're working with wood, it's about patience. When you're treating wood, it's about patience. Mm-hmm. You don't just apply the stain and then install the product right away. You let it saturate. So you wait. I know that Steve was talking about you what is it? You wait a week or something like that. You let it sit out. You want it to get some Mother Nature on it. And then you travel it to site, mm-hmm. and then you get it ready. What I really appreciated from him and what he's doing is that the stain is getting coated on all sides, all the ends, all the mortise and tenon. So when he's locking everything in, it's not like you're staining just the visible.
Yeah.
You're staining everything about that wood now.
Yeah, all functions of it. One, he likes it for the fact that, well, it's an oil substance, and so when you're putting it together, makes it go together a lot easier.
Lot of sense. Yeah, it sneaks right in. Yeah.
So it's not that big of a fight. It helps, you know, keeps the structural integrity. So the dimensional instability from where, if you can get on it quick enough, it's going to help control, especially with Douglas fir. Douglas fir is like renowned for, you could be working on that in the summertime and it just starts singing cracks going throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to help reduce that amount, because that's just a rapid exhale of moisture that is leaving that is causing it to do that. And it's just the cell structure shrinking rapidly as it's drying out. And if you can control that from happening at such an expedited rate, you're going to have a stronger dimensional product. If you keep the stuff from moving as much, it's going to last longer physically.
So walk me through, okay, we built this project.
Yep.
It's been stained properly. We weighted it. We installed it. We put it all together. Now what do we got to do? Now we got to do what to take care of it? A year from now, 6 months from now, when do we reapply? Stuff like that.
Well, in those cases, so the oil in itself, the time limit question comes up all the time. And I sort of like, well,
but there's a lot of factors associated.
There's a lot
with
of factors about it.
Yeah.
You know, are we sitting on a south shore of a beach? We're getting blasted with no shade whats at all. Is the wind coming in and sandblasting it with sand? You know, is it traffic? A lot of different. In general, we say watch and monitor. The color is a very good indicator. It'll begin to fade. It's designed to, it sounds negative, but erode with naturally. So it'll fade a little bit. It's not going to peel. It's not going to flake. It's not going to crack off the surface. It just sort of wears down a little bit. That is a real good visual indicator. So basically what you do is you go up, you wash the surface. We have a whole line of preparatory products. So from a wood brightener, heavy cleaner, it's designed for tannin stains, a lot of miscellaneous scenarios that come up, but main form is a rester. We call it reviver, wood reviver.
Okay.
And so you can take the silver out of wood.
Is it a diluted product or is it?
You can dilute it a little bit, but we usually recommend most times just use it full strength.
Okay.
It's a formulation of several different acids. Don't quiz me too much on those ones because I'm not really a chemist by any stretch.
You're applying it with what, like with a rag or?
You can put it on with a brush, with a roller, with a sprayer, and it'll instantaneously just sort of attack the dirt and the degraded surface, the silvering of the wood, so it'll brighten it physically. I've walked through it and then walked on the deck further and I watched my footprints turn white right behind, like brighten up right behind me before. So pretty cool in that sense. That one in itself is really neat because you don't have to keep a wet edge with that product. You can put it on, you can leave it for up to 24 hours and just let it soak. And it's actively working inside to when you come back to rinse it off afterwards to neutralize it with water. But it has a foaming agent to give you an indicator that you're getting enough of that chemical out. So it works in like a chemical deglazing aspect. If you're doing it with new wood and you're coming to it for the first time, just get the mill glaze off, helps prep that surface, but cleans it up.
You're just washing it off with water?
You're just washing it off with water.
And the water runoff is totally fine? Everything's
water
fine?
Runoff is totally fine. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. We have our quick clean, which is just a general all everyday cleaner. So if you are one of the few who go out and clean your deck surface on a regular, want to wash it, this is your weapon. It is a concentrated product, so it comes in about a half gallon container, and you can dilute it basically for a deck wash is an 8-to-1 solution. So you basically put that into a 5-gallon pail, top it up with water, that is a perfect 8-to-1, and just wash with that. You can take it, put it in a 55-gallon drum, top that up with water, and that is probably some of the best window cleaner you'll ever use. So if you're doing window cleaning or facade cleaning, a lot of these companies that'll go out and do maintenance on the regular, window cleaners especially, because everybody gets their windows clean.
Yeah.
You can wash the whole side of your house with this, and it is not biased to what materials are used. I've used it on vinyl siding, I've used it on concrete, I've used it on car. You could take the concentrated form and degrease your engine with it. It's one, I think, probably one of the little unsung heroes of the product line. It's a real trooper and does a lot of stuff. So
are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today.
Would I be wrong to say, John, that... You should just, once you install your deck, once it's done, it's all pretty, everything's good, enjoy it for the summer, mm-hmm. let it go through, we're in Toronto, we're in Canada, so yep. let it go through the winter, let it go through the fall, the winter, mm-hmm. clean off all the leaves, and then come spring, do a revive wash, period.
Yeah, you could absolutely do that, and it's going to be based, that doesn't hurt at all to no. do that.
But most do that cases, every single year.
You don't have to go to that every single year.
Because then that way you have a fresh deck every spring, right?
Well, you can get pretty fresh just by cleaning with that quick clean on the surface.
Yeah.
And it's whether you do it with a brush and you do it with a light pressure wash afterwards, and that'll help remove any of the degraded pigments in that case, and then let it dry and then reapply. It's clean, dry, reapply. It's that simple in that some cases, if you are on top of it on a regular, you don't have to even go into that big of a clean cycle.
You
can just basically, I'm just going to go, dry sweep off with my corn husk broom and blow off the deck and put some oil on it. If you're on top of it.
If you are, right? Because the reason I say the spring, because it makes sense, because most of the times coming to winter, you start packing up all your furniture, right? Whether you're covering it up right then and there on the deck, or you're moving it off the deck, so then you could let the snow do what it's going to do, but then it'll melt, and then now you've got a chance to revive the deck for the summer use, right?
You could go to that stretch. Back when I had my maintenance company, which... I only opened because of Q-Tech, because it was easy, and we did a large project on the corner of Roxborough and Young.
Okay.
Been so long, I can't remember the name of the building. Anyways.
The balcony decks, I think.
Beautiful, with all done in thermally modified ash.
Yeah, I remember that project.
Thermally. I was actually one of my first introductions into it, and I went full tilt into this, starting it up, not really knowing what I was doing, pre-finishing, and here we are, my best friend at the time, and we're in his backyard, and we got a tractor trailer load of this material in the back, and we was doing it at a 24x24 garage, but... I remember going there and doing the maintenance afterwards, and all we would do is we'd use a commercial floor scrubber, like a sander almost, just a buff thing with the poly pad, and we would wash with the quick clean, and we would scrub. So it did a very mild abrasion in a way, so it's a little heavier than a scrub brush, but every time we went over, it came back brand new every time. And they just did clear oil, so it was always silvering a little bit. We would end up getting the silver out from that abrasion, but... It was a pretty cool process to see. It just kept blowing my mind away every time we came back. We're just like, it's like brand new, brand new, brand new, brand new every time we came back. So it was pretty cool.
Here's a question for you. Is there a species that you can't protect?
I don't know the name of it right off the top of my head.
There is
one that is extremely dense and full of its own natural oils that there is a bit of a reaction. Like it's
not Ipe, is it?
Oh no, Ipe. It's,
you can still penetrate Ipe.
Oh yeah, we have penetrated Ipe quite easily.
I'm assuming a Brazilian or a South American
it's
would.
It's probably like Indo, Australasia area, like it's like a gum wood of some sort, or like an iron gum something. I'll I'll get back.
I'm curious. On that I'm one. Just curious, but I didn't think that there would actually be a so there is a particular species.
They've had some difficulty with it. I'm not saying it's an impossibility.
Have people built with it, used it in North American?
No, not that I would know of.
Okay.
That I've heard. I've heard this has been actually one of the coolest parts about the job that I work at is just the exposure to new species. And I thought I was a wood expert. At best, I will say I am a student at best. There is so much there, yeah. And I'm learning every single day. Somebody will bring up some new species, and I'll be like, oh, okay, what's that kind of like? And it'll be like, oh, it's a cross between Ipe and Kumaru. And I'm like, all right, I kind of know those colors and grains and just different things. And how many, mahogany. Mahogany is a pretty broad term, as well as Ipe in some cases. There's a big draw right now to like Sapele mahogany down in.
It's that gorgeous. One of my first decks that I ever built, I used that. And it was good. It didn't last forever because the clients didn't maintain it, right? Mm-hmm. But it was such a soothing looking wood grain. It was beautiful.
Oh, like some, there's gorgeous stuff out there. And
here in North America,
I've got a big pile in my garage, and it's getting bigger.
We're only aware of a fraction of what's really being used in the world, right? When you start going to Asia, you start going to other countries, South America, there's so many other woods that are being used for particular reasons, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And we're seeing a lot more of them now, and with like some of these wood decking products and cladding that is out there, they get more world travel than the average Joe does. That's for sure. You get in the world of thermal modification where you can be pulling from Africa and then they're going to ship everything up into Europe to where most of the modifiers are. And then it's then delivered into the U.S. and then say to the point that even the U.S. is starting to export some of that into Canada and throughout the North American market. Like that wood's traveled around quite a bit.
It's nice to see because it kind of lines up the different types of wood and the products associated with those woods coming into the North America market are very in line with my own construction career when I got started, that not a lot of people were talking about this stuff. A lot of people were just, your go-to decks were pressure treated.
Yeah.
Your go-to decks, if you want to go craziness, was cedar. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that was craziness at that point. But nowadays, it's a different world. It's a different market, right?
So much out there. When we're leading into even the pressure treated market, which is, it's huge. I was just reading some stats on that. North America alone, it's like they're expected into the pressure treated framing, decking, and fencing. Something over 15 billion board feet expected for the
in all of North America
or in just all of US? North America.
Wow.
Just in the pressure treated market alone, and 37% of that is decking.
And then you were mentioning off mic that Q-Tech is working on a pressure treated oil.
Well, it's still the same oil we have, so okay. Just in the clear oil, so it's a new wood program. So it's more just an informant that even all the pressure treating companies out there, their FAQs, there's a wives' tale out there. It says, you've got to wait a year before you put anything on your wood.
Gotta let it age a little
bit. You gotta let it age.
We were always taught that.
Yeah. From who?
I don't really know if it was maybe the orange apron with the resident expert. I don't know.
All of those companies, like, Micropro Sienna, which is very prevalent. That's basically our go-to pressure treated up here. First question on their FAQs is, how soon before I can stain my wood? As soon as you can, dry to the touch. You can do that in a lot of cases, even on our cans, we can treat products that are 17% and lower. That's pretty high. Mm-hmm. If that's a very easy number. Now, if you're running with the clear oil that you don't have to worry about color, you can coat pretty much right away at higher concentrations, and the chemical in itself and its ability to equalize the moisture content in the board, if you coat all sides on that and then you build with it or leave it for a little bit, it's going to take all that excess moisture out of it. So now you don't have to jam your boards up tight and putting them, wait for that gap to yeah. shrink in there. Yeah. You can build the way you want to build with it. If you do your framework, and we're talking, you know, price point wise, roughly in around the same range as putting a strip of G tape across the top, but now you can do the whole board, shrink the extra moisture out. You got a tighter connection. So when you build with it, you're not having any fasteners that are popping, no dips and bobs that are going there. So when you build with a tighter finished product and no worries of things are shrinking and those screw pops or any of those sort of, you've taken that moisture issue out of the equation.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
And the cool part about it is anybody can do it. It's not hard. You can use whatever equipment. You could send it off and have it done.
Yeah.
Roller it on, wet stack it. It's not going to stick to it. There's nothing sticky. There's no film. You just put it from one pile into the other pile. I used to do that all the time. I've got two projects from when I used to build. And that's how we did it, and we pre-oiled everything, and it wasn't hard. Like, heck, I was a deck builder. I didn't screw it up.
No. And then when you're pre-oiling everything, you get all the raw material, it gets on site, you cut it to the size that you need to cut it, and then just oil up the ends.
Yeah.
That's it. That's simple it. As that.
And then you got a full, every side, you know, six side safe, or it's all protected,
and it looks gorgeous, man. Simple yeah. as that, right? But it's nice to experiment with the different stains too. I'm a fan of the colors.
The colors are fun. The yeah. colors are a lot of fun. Played around with a few of them. The whites, whitewash, messed around a lot with those. Played with some of the real, like, maybe boosted some of the concentrations up a little bit higher than I probably should have, but just mess around with some, with the reds and the yellows. Black is
getting very, very popular.
Black's pretty incredible on some stuff.
What's nice about Q-Tex black is that it's black. Mm-hmm. Like, it's dark, right? I've seen others and this is dark. I was going to ask you, John, can you apply this and install product inside your house?
There are a few scenarios in where, say, like ceilings, an accent wall, a structural beam that, say, runs through with a lot of some of these real contemporary styles and hybrid constructions with timbers that may yeah. run from inside and out. Those are fairly decent scenarios. Ideally, not applying it inside. So during the construction phase, when you have some good ventilation and everything, because it's a very low VOC product, believe it or not. We're only about 215 grams
yep.
per liter, which is far below many thresholds of anything in North America and Europe. But it is truly an animal designed to be outside.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons is because it doesn't create that film. Because I've had people ask me, oh, can I do my cabinets in this? And I'm like, well, yeah, like technically, yeah, you could, but it's not going to make a real, unless you bring that wood surface to a polish, you're feeling the wood. There isn't a finish yeah. on the top. Yeah. So when you go to wipe down your cabinet, that J cloth or whatever you're using, it's going to leave
some streaks.
It's yeah. going to leave some streaks or some hairs or fibers or whatever, because unless you have that wood at a perfect, smooth, wipeable surface. I've used it in a couple scenarios, oddly, like say a bench in a shower, a cedar bench. We've done that, but we were able to pull the bench outside to maintain it every once in a while, and they used it.
So as long as you apply it outside or in a well-ventilated area, seasonally speaking, you can still install the product on the inside once it's already been, I guess, technically cured, it's saturated, and then you just reapply it again, depending on exposure.
Well, yeah, like your exposure is not really going to be anything.
It won't be much, but in the shower application.
In the shower application somewhere down the line, I could see that being, you know, it's not really what the main premise of the product was for. Like, yeah. like, yes, for keeping water out would work. It would, I think there'd probably be some better products in those sort of scenarios. That's like same like saunas as well too. You wouldn't want to use that on the inside of a sauna.
You want the whatever wood
you're the using. Sauna wax or whatever.
That's like what you want to use, right?
You're like lay high heat inside there, all sweaty and laying all over it, and it's.
I don't even know what teak would look like with Q-Tech on it.
Teak looks pretty nice, actually.
It looks pretty nice. Yeah,
we would fool around every spring. Everyone's open up their patio furniture, and we'd look on Facebook Marketplace, and they'd be like, oh, it's all gray. I'm going to get rid of it. And so you walk around, and you'd find all this teak furniture for, like, patio set for $150, and we'd go back, and we'd put Wood Reviver on it and clean it up, and then we would put some clear oil on it, or put a little like a gold tone in there just to help maintain that nice glow on there, and you get a brand new protected teak patio set.
Put it back on Kijiji and sell it for 10 times.
So I guess that's gonna be a little tougher to find this year now. Secret's out.
Are you ready to build a life that's not just fulfilling on the job site but off the job site too? Welcome to Building Joy, the podcast series from TCL that's all about crafting a brighter, more satisfying existence in every corner of your life. I'm Manny Nevis, the host of the Construction Life TCL podcast, and together with happiness life coach Teresa Greco of the Steps to Happiness, we're laying the blueprint for true happiness. Every episode, we dive into real challenges and opportunities construction workers face in their pursuit for joy. From the long hours and the physical grind to the alliance and pride in the job well done. We're here to show you how to bring more joy into your work, your personal life, and everything in between. Got a story, a question, or just need some advice? We're all ears. Email us at manny@theconstructionlife.com or steps2truehappiness@gmail.com or drop us a message on social media at @TCL_theconstructionlife or @TeresaGreco_steps2happiness. At Building Joy, we know that happiness isn't just a dream. It's something you can build one brick at a time. So tune in, connect with us, and start laying the foundation for a happier, more fulfilled life. After all, the greatest structure you'll ever build is the life you lead. Join us on Building Joy, where we're constructing a better tomorrow, one episode at a time, because life's too short to settle for anything less than joy.
I want to get to the website. I want you to walk us through some of the projects that you guys have been involved with and see some of the details. Is there any particular ones you want to jump out at first?
Well, a lot of these are over in Australia and New Zealand. Being fairly recent in the North American market, we haven't really compiled a lot of nice high-scale architectural projects, but there are some out there. We're just getting some photos.
Well, you guys will get plenty of photos from the Maida Barn project, that's for sure.
Yes, yeah.
That's going to look gorgeous, yeah.
But, you know, more and more, we're not putting any sort of real crazy colors out there. So it's really celebrating the naturalness of what wood is and just being able to maintain it in those aspects. There's a couple of them actually with some industrial they did in Australia.
Do you want us to scroll down?
Let's take a quick scroll down and see what we got here. I don't know if I have to do a little more research on some of these. So the
which one?
The Pier project there was actually an interesting one.
The Shorncliffe there?
Yeah, Shorncliffe Pier. I believe it's in Australia. And this was
the project view project there. I'll cut around all this. Yeah.
So this one I do know about because I've actually referenced it a few times. So this was a project that the municipal area was looking at, you know, do we revive this? It had another project on it. You know, are we going to replace it? What was the best tactic to go about it?
What was that? That looks like
that's
ash.
No, that's a, oh my goodness. I believe it is.
I was going to say a nipe.
It is a tropical hardwood, and right now, if I can just picture Greg, who's a national architectural consultant over in Australia, and he's rolling his eyes and slapping his head going, come on, John, you know this one.
It depends on the day of the week.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of stainless steel face screws.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a fan of not seeing the screws.
Yeah.
But I've done decks before where we've lined it up and, you know, you've marked it out and you cross line exactly where the screw is supposed to be. And when you've got a large area and you got all those stainless steel screws, it does look pretty impressive. But then I go back to the argument about on a really hot day and you're bare feet.
Yeah, those are hot.
Those are hot, right? Those are hot. But it looks visually, it looks nice. So it depends on the day of the week for me.
Yeah. So basically this pier, they wanted it just to go naturally silver. So just using the clear oil, which is our base product.
Yeah.
There's no UV in it. So you can apply that. It's going to darken the wood and enhance what it is while the oil is soaking in. But
yeah,
it still allows the wood to naturally do what wood does. Yeah. Let's not try to fight that whole evolution. It goes silver and it's almost its own natural UV protection, because when it goes silver, it becomes a reflective surface versus a dark surface that that's absorbing. So that's another cool thing about wood. All we're doing is maintaining the dimensional stability and protecting against the water infiltration on this. So this is a perfect scenario for a high traffic public scenario like this.
So like it's a saltwater environment too.
Saltwater environment. Yep. Yeah.
So what was done to the wood at the very beginning? Nothing? It just let it naturally age?
It was
age?
Going. They had other products on there. They had to probably strip it back and okay. get it back versus going through, pulling all the boards up and then replacing them. They were able to restore what they had there and then maintain it from there Got on it. Very easily. It's just been basically using, they have over in Australia, they have a wood preservative formulation on it. So it's actually got a copper preservative and insecticide portion. That's
it does look nice.
Yeah, and very simple. It's just,
and that was a clear coat.
And then the general maintenance on that is just keep it clean, wash
how long?
It.
Do you know? You have any idea how big that pier is?
It looks pretty long. It's a pretty few hundred feet. Pretty good size. Yeah, and then the ongoing product that went meeting up to it, the abutting products as well too, I think, but. Yeah, it was a good size project. And so that was one in particular in a municipal aspect. That's in Brisbane, Australia. Nice. Hopefully one day I get to go over there and go see it, check it out.
Well, I'm sure that'll happen. I'll meet you there. Any other ones? What's this rum distillery?
Yeah, there you go.
Two nice words. There you go. And that's very red.
That'd be a very red one.
Let's take a peek at that.
This is in Queensland, so that's actually right near where head office is in Queensland, Australia.
John, my bags are packed, man.
Let's go. Right on.
Again, so, I love, depending on the day of the week, I love those face screws, man. But that's so nice. So what is that? That's got to be maybe a mahogany or no?
I'm just sort of quickly reading through this as I'm... feel like I should have been studying on this, but
that's fine.
It more than likely it is
a gum,
okay. A gum wood of some sort. Looks but yeah, they used a burnt black. Red. That's a burnt red color tone. So on a lot of the tropicals, like that would display very similar to like a mahogany, even an ipé in some applications. But you can get, I've done that. Very similar look with even thermally modified ash
really
on a deck with that same color. Just brush it on.
And the red looks really sharp with the black accent windows there and the details that they got with the metal work going around the windows
mm-hmm.
for the shading aspect. I like that a lot.
Absolutely.
Nice. All right. Going back to another one.
The Grand Design Sunshine Coast. You can see a lot of those wood screens. That's an architectural component that's coming out a lot lately, which when I look at some of them, I kind of grimace because being from maintenance, I would look at that like, oh my gosh, I got to get down in between all those nooks and crannies. And
it looks gorgeous as a very clean, contemporary look, but... you almost want to wish that you're just going to live with the patina of it naturally going, because it will be challenging to get in there, right?
It would be. And
unless you make it in a way that they can come off,
I've seen that.
You can reapply them, right? On all sides, right? That's a possibility.
The architects have been really embracing that look. I like it personally.
I do.
Helped out a builder up. Actually, I think he... came as a referral from quite a number of years ago from you up in Scott Build up in Meaford area.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
It's got a very heavy Scottish accent. Super, super great guy.
Yeah.
Very, very, very creative and unique in some of his means of how he's constructing. He did a beautiful addition on his building, his place up there, and whole house, roof, the walls and everything done in that slat going on there. Oh, yeah. It's his masterpiece, I think, at this point. I'm sure he'll start another one as soon as this one's finished.
But there's there's something about designing a structure with a nice balance between wood and glass.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about it. Like, it's just very soothing and pleasing to the individual that gets to see it in person or walk through it in person. It's just really, really nice. And I'm not dismissing incorporating stone of some sort.
No.
I'm just saying that there's a balance. When you start using these materials, there's a balance that just hits it perfectly.
It's especially with those natural products, wood especially.
Yeah.
It's very warm. It's organic. It's a connection back to what the earth is, that whole push in biophilic design right now. There's just something about it that it can be soothing and relaxing. They're finding, studies are showing that in institutional scenarios like schools where they have a large component of wood that's exposed, that they're finding they're getting better results in productivity out of the students that are there. In scenarios like rehabilitation centers or anything like that, they're finding that people are healing faster, and it's just having that reconnection back to what nature's there, whether it gives off some frequency that's, I don't know, being a musician and playing a lot of guitars, there's definitely something about, that's going to be a long going argument that natural wood instruments sound better, but there's other products that are out there that are made out of carbon fiber that sound pretty good too.
Yes, they probably do sound better.
It's an age old argument that'll probably never be settled.
But there is truth to that. And it's just when we all grew up in schools or whatever, it was always concrete block and painted, and that was it. It would have been a lot more pleasing.
Lovely hum of fluorescent lights.
Hell and then, yeah.
But yeah. Like they're now looking at these materials to be incorporated in a lot of these buildings where, along the line now that even in the sense of construction, I don't know how much you have dabbled in or looked at, but in mass timber construction, have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. I was just up in St. Thomas at Element 5 this past week, picking up some sample pieces, and took an old woodworking mentor friend of mine and his son-in-law, just to go tour the plant real quick and take a look at it. But basically the same post and column and slab construction, but done now entirely out of wood components. So glue lam columns and beams with large cross laminated panels of basically side and finger jointed 2x4 and 2x6. And just imagine giant plywood.
Yeah.
Up to starting from a 3-ply at about 4.5 inches up to 9-ply, which you can get just these incredible spans.
Can you Q-Tech those?
Absolutely.
There's no issues with, I guess, all the glue and all nothing?
Nope.
It's still wood there.
It's still wood, yeah. So in those applications, yes, we've looked into some of those areas of being where we can be helped. In that industry right now, it's a big cry for moisture mitigation. So it just felt like the natural place for us to see if we could help work in those capacities and protect those things. Like in most cases, the floors, like as they're building, very, very popular on the West Coast right now, but they're here, there's a couple schools. I think Georgian College, they just did a fairly large building there. The sort of that gold building that you see, I think a lot of that, I believe, was mass timber. Humber College has just done another residence building over at their main area. That was all done in mass timber.
See, it's interesting is that the code is now introducing, I think there's a structure out west that's going 18 stories. With wood structure, but not mass timber.
And I'm against the wood structure of 18 stories, but I'm totally 100% for mass timber 18 stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew up downtown Toronto. All of those older buildings were all mass timber, cladded in brick of some sort. But structurally speaking, they're all mass timber. And that's actually really nice in my eyes, building it. And then if you were to treat it this way, I can only imagine what the interior is going to feel like.
Yeah, like it's more and not like, sure, I'd love to see the finishing of it. More of it, I'm just going in is try to help save it in the construction phase to protect it from any type of infiltration. However they finish it currently right now, it's almost saddening that they cover a lot of it with drywall just because not an understanding. It's fairly new. So
on the mass timbers?
On the mass timber. They'll do a lot of it covered, like the columns and some of the walls. They can do full wall panels, elevator shafts, you name it.
It's nice. I got to get you out to the Maida barn because everybody that walks in there now that everything's exposed on the inside, it's not fully. We're probably about 90% there, like fully exposed, and this is what it's always going to stay looking like. Mm-hmm. It's such a warm feeling. And then we're putting all the mechanical and all the insulating, all the building envelope on the exterior. So then we can keep and stay true to this timber, all the timber that's exposed on the inside.
Yeah.
That's what you really want. So it's been conversations about how do we run the electrical? How do we run this? How do we run that? How do we insulate everything? And you're literally building two structures in one place because you want to maintain this visual element on the interior side, which is all the exposed fir, all the exposed pine that's TNG with two different coats. I think on, don't quote me on this, but I think it was burnt. Was it burnt? One was coated one color, and walnut wasn't one of them.
Walnut and bark.
Bark, that's it. Bark was the other one. So bark's a little lighter than walnut. Is that right, or is it the other way around?
Actually, it'd be the other way around. So walnut's got a little more red in it, where bark would be a brown and black mix. So it's sort of a step just before black.
And that was the idea, is that you want to see the difference between the pine TNG and the Douglas fir beams, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to play a little bit with what the subtone of each wood is too. Yep. So like where pine and Douglas fir is going to have a lot more red in it just because
you see it.
Yeah. You see it. And where it's growing from, a lot of those Western species have a lot of red in it.
Yeah.
I think it's systemically probably absorbed through the wood from the soil. Makes sense, but I don't quote me on that.
And then the pine's a little bit lighter. That's all it is. But that contrast between the two is really nice. Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com. or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast.
Get some more of our own on here. And
It'll eventually happen.
We've got some we've been working with quite a few. There's some that have been a long time coming.
What's the Ray White office? What's that about?
I don't know. That looks like a...
Looks like a pine?
Yeah, or no, it'd be a pine. It'd be a pine.
Pine,
or,
okay.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Australia gets probably some of the nicest cedar from Canada.
Really? From here?
From here.
Shipped over there?
Well, it's about 80% of the cedar that's produced in Canada goes to the U.S. Well, and of the 20% that's remaining, maybe only about 5 to 10% stays here in Canada and the rest of it. But the stuff that is shipped abroad... from that, other than the Northeast quadrant of the United States in like the Hamptons area. They like their cedar and yeah, they like their clear cedar. But over in Australia, that's considered their exotic creme de la creme of wood, where we're like, it's just cedar. You know, it's the step up from pressure tree over here. That's their gold standard over there for softwoods in those applications. So
I remember when we were over at Estonia there, it was a lot of Europeans and Asians that were asking us about our cedar here. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking, it's just cedar, I don't understand. But they look at cedar differently.
Oh yeah. It's a lot different.
Does it tell you what stain is on this one? That's a pine,
but that'd be black ash.
That's black ash stain. That's
black ash on there. So I'm gonna probably say that's probably a double strength black ash.
Yeah, because of darkness there.
I actually, a while back, and we actually bounced back and forth. This would be, we won't say names, but a client that was looking for some thermary siding.
Yep.
A while ago. And we ended up actually doing clear Western red cedar and coating it in the black ash to look like thermally modified ash on their place.
Did it turn out that way? It turned out that way. Pretty good.
It turned out really well. It still looks great. I drove by it actually a little while ago just to sort of check out on it, and it looks fantastic actually. Just up, where's that neighborhood? Yeah, I don't know.
No, I remember that one, that project too, right? It's just I like that Q-Tech offers that silver patina stain too. Mm-hmm. So you can get to that point, because that obviously naturally, it depends on how extreme the weather is over the years. It takes a few years to get to that point.
It can, absolutely. Yeah. Especially in the areas where the sun doesn't shine, right?
Like, yeah.
And the beautiful process of it is you don't have to continually add that pigmented stain to it. You can just treat with clear oil to maintain it, because you're just watching for water repellency at that point. Because if that's the way it's going to go. So if the pigment wears, it'll have a very natural transition. So the natural patina will be there and you just don't see it. Now the white pigments, they have amazing adhesion qualities to them, so they hold on very, 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 very well. So we've done that on, we did a modified ash one over in Innisfil area close to Barrie. Beautiful rooftop project. I should actually bring you there. You'd have a,
I'd love,
it's
to
a 30,000 square foot cottage.
Oh, yeah. You that. Yeah. Wow.
All the flat roofs on the whole entire property were done with Thermary's modified ash the decking. Wow. And then we used the grad rail on
really?
Those systems on it, so yeah, it made it all serviceable, but we were running on the maintenance on that, and it just turned out absolutely stunning with the whitewash. It gave that instantaneous, within like 2 to 3 weeks after install, it was bone white. And it looked gorgeous. And been back to it, taking photos. We're finally going back. This is almost three. The project has been going on now for over 5 years. And we're putting in the last small little 14 by 20 rooftop section. They put that as a sacrificial layer to go over top of the rubber membrane on the roof, so it would last longer, not break down in the solar, because this is all removable and modular, so they could actually take it out, service it clean, put it back down if they had to.
Smart.
With the just very smart forward thinking, which is, you know, but using the wood as it's gonna in that capacity have a long lifespan in itself, because once it's white, so it's reflecting everything UV, it's going the direction that it's naturally wants to go, so you're not fighting natural progression. It's been protected. They are keeping up on it. Like, they have a maintenance staff that comes through to do landscape of over 16 people at this place. It's but it is mind-blowing lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, there's clients out there for it. I get it.
Just breathtaking stuff that, you know, you see those magazine pictures taken. There are clients out there for that, absolutely, and there's a bunch of them. But the thing, this product's accessible to everybody and for all types of woods.
Could you, John, like, if you wanted to get that silver patina, could you apply it at the very beginning when you install new material, and then each year you apply it again and again to the point where it naturally patinas and all you do now is apply a clear coat?
I think you could do that even simpler.
How's that?
I would just do it right at the beginning and let how it's going to naturally, like wood itself, depending. Let's not use pressure treated there because pressure treated comes with a color on it.
Yeah.
But say that, say we wash the color out or you just use spruce or cedar and you just put that out there. We'll use cedar as an example. Yes, you could coat like that, put that out there and almost guarantee before the end of the year, you could just treat with clear oil from there on
in. Because it's already starting to.
It's already starting to do it. So by the time that pigment does what it's going to do and erode off of it, because it's a semi-transparent nature, it's allowing that wood to transition in underneath by itself. So it's not all of a sudden the pigment goes flick and then all of a sudden you get this like super dark color. Nice coasters, by the way. So it's a very gradual transition. So it makes it something that isn't jumping out in your face like, oh, what the heck? And then you're just maintaining for moisture protection from there on.
That's all it is, right? And then speaking of that, like I knew about it already, but the camera crew when we were shooting didn't realize that this product beads the way it beads. Like the way the water was sitting on it, not penetrating it. I was like, well, that's the evidence right there. Clear as day. We came in, morning dew, weather was rainy, weather was some snow on it.
Yeah.
Like you leave it alone, it wasn't penetrating the wood. Yeah. That's as simple as it works, right? So you know that it's protecting the wood. It's simple.
Absolutely. All the way through. It's keeping the water out.
That's it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a fan of it. It makes a lot of sense. And then you want to keep on reapplying it until it continuously stays beating the water. That's it.
Yeah. If you can maintain at that level, one, it's easy to do. The putting the stain on, that's 100%. The easiest part of it all. It's the prep work that goes into everything else.
Yeah.
That's backbreaking, mind numbing. But if you can keep that as easy with the cleaning, it's a pretty simple system. Like my best analogy to sort of push it out there is you see Ford Model Ts rolling out on the road today. And it's not because Ford's an awesome manufacturer. Somebody took the time to look after it.
They took care of it. Exactly it. And that's basically that's wood.
That's wood. It'll do the same thing.
But it's just ironic that the whole other side of the industry, when it gets into the composite, it's sold on the basis of low maintenance or zero maintenance, which is really true.
They've really healed back from the zero maintenance.
Oh, have they? Okay, good.
I think they've been
people are smarting up.
Yeah, it is.
There's still maintenance. Doesn't matter.
There's still maintenance. Everything, like, you could apply the same principles to that and clean it and keep it on a regular and on that. And those products, they would last longer, too. There is a definite end life to them.
Yeah.
As there is to wood, like, 1,400 years is a pretty good track record for some structure. I don't know if that's a deck surface, per se, but... the premise is there. You could apply that, and as long as you're looking after it, it'll turn back and look after you just the same amount. It just feels a lot nicer.
What else you want to? I think we've covered quite a bit. Is there anything else you want to share? I want to do the new 12 questions with you, but anything else that we should know about Q-Tech right now? I guess getting a hold of it, getting information about it, getting samples, getting.
Yeah, so you can take a look online for our Q-Tech dealer locator anywhere on qtechstain.com and go to the dealer locator, and that will keep up with a lot of our paint shops that have it. Home Hardware's have it here in Ontario. We are building a distribution and dealer network throughout the U.S. right now. We've got places like Timbertown, Docks and Decks. Our decks and docks, that are getting down there. Some Benjamin Moore dealers that are actually carry the product as well there. Well, we're all out to make it better at the end of the day. And if there's things that one product can do that another product can't do, if we're all there to try and help out in those capacities, we're trying to help our clients out, make these projects that they have, one, invest that they last longer, but yeah. protect them. Yeah. So if
everyone, and don't be afraid to try some of the colors.
Yeah. Like right. There's a lot of things Q-Tech can't do. We don't do solid colors.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely, you know, hey guys, there's a lot of other products out there that can do that. We don't do glossy finishes. It's a matte finish.
And you don't want that.
Don't want that. You know, if you want it to look like a piano, you can, but it's a lot of work.
But if
it
gets wet and you walk on it, you better prepare for a fall, right?
And there's a bunch of different things along those lines.
Yeah.
But for the basic premise of keeping wood looking good and helping it stay stable and mitigate the water, we do a pretty darn good job.
Yes, you do, man. So reach out to them all over social media. I'd probably even start with Starwood Right, at Starwood Right. Reach out to John or Q-Tech North America, Q-Tech Australia, QTechStain.com.
QTechStain.com. We've got building a good social media campaign with Q-Tech North America. So if you guys are out there and you're using the product, take photos, share them. We'd love to see them.
Yeah.
Tag Q-Tech North America on that, and we'll share them online. We believe in rising tides raise all ships. So
I'm getting excited about getting close to the end of the main barn project and having people come by and take a look at it. And there's been people reaching out to me asking me when that can happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next little while. And we want people, because there's no better feeling than actually walking in and experiencing all that wood. And you can go, and I guarantee you, every single person that walks in there is going to go up and touch the wood. They're going to touch all the pieces of wood there and just get a sense of it. And you're not going to have this residue on you.
No.
The wood's going to be protected. Simple as that.
And yeah, Steve's crew over there, Timber Kits Coating, they do.
Yeah, he's doing something
phenomenal job.
They're like magicians now. They're just doing some magic, some serious magic going on.
It's a pretty fun canvas to work with. Yeah. So
I had a blast being there. I totally had a blast. So huge shout out to them. Ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
A person you would trade places with for a day. Nobody come to mind?
I think my son.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He's in high school right now. He's going back through trades, and it's
he's going into the trades?
Well, he wants to get into it. So, but to see, have that wonderment all over again.
Mm,
and
I know you
sort
mean.
Of, you know, if I knew things I knew, if I knew back then what I knew now. But having that excitement about learning all those things at that stage, and just
the appreciating world, the lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your guilty pleasure?
Hours and hours of guitar.
Hours and hours of guitar.
Yeah.
How many times are you in the music store? Where are you going, Long and Quaid, or where are you going?
Actually, Facebook Marketplace is that's my better guilty
option.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Not always, but always looking for a deal on those. And to the chagrin of my wife, my walls are getting filled up. So
I love it. What's your least favorite tool?
I'm going to have to say a jackhammer.
Yeah, it's just...
it's not fun.
Purpose-driven, but it's very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Biggest risk you ever took?
Going out on my own.
It's always a challenge, man. Best compliment you ever got?
There's a few. I should have just listened to you in the first place.
What's your favorite beverage?
Lately, right now, mud water.
Mud water?
Yeah.
What is that?
It is a... kind of a coffee replacement. It's powdered mushrooms and cacao and chaga and it's cinnamon, and just stir it before you get to the bottom, or you learn why it's called mud water real quick.
Got it. All right. What never fails to make you laugh?
my wife has got a pretty good job at that, so
good. Worst piece of advice you ever got?
It's good enough.
Yeah, I hate that one. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Let's see, you've asked me this before.
Yeah.
So I said teacher back then.
Still a teacher?
I think still a teacher.
What's your favorite curse word?
Grr.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Any mode of transportation. Yeah, I'm thinking 50-foot something sailboat. Yeah, that would be about my favorite mode. Nice and slow. I would love, it's a criteria, a teak deck. I would love a teak deck or even a Douglas fir. A nice clear grain, vertical grain Douglas fir deck would be something pretty awesome.
That's nice. Last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Well done, good and faithful servant.
That's it. John, always a pleasure to have you, man, because it's a wealth of knowledge and you know your shit. And I encourage anybody to kind of reach out and then try it out. And trust me, you'll be sold the moment you try it out. You'll be sold. I guarantee you, you'll be sold. And then you'll see a bunch of doors opening because now your creative possibilities are going to be out there.
Absolutely.
And I'm loving where just solely the deck world is going. Yes. A lot of people are experimenting, doing more ideas. And I think a lot of it had to do with the last few years of people wanting to spend more time outside and enjoying spaces outside. So why not take our creativity from the inside, bring it outside and really expand it.
Absolutely.
Simple as that, right?
Just keep it. Yeah. Pulling it from inside outside. That's it. If you can do that.
Reach out to them again. Q-Tech North America on social media, Q-Tech Australia, Start Wood Right, QTechStain.com. That's it.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you back on the Mater Barn when we get closer to it.
Absolutely.
And then you can check it out from there and board and batten. Or actually, we're getting into all the mechanical now. And then we're going to sheath, air barrier, board and batten. That's getting a stain as well on it too.
Yeah.
And then, before that happens, the windows are going to go in. So
I never get to see them at that point.
No, everyone that's been a part of this is going to get a chance to see it and then walk around and check it out. And
that'll be fun.
And then we've had some conversations about some little details that are going to happen on the inside part of it. And then I think we just got the green light on who's going to be building the actual barn doors. There's two set of barn doors there.
Nice.
And I'm hearing a rumor of hemlock being used.
Nice.
Which makes sense to stain as well, too.
Yeah.
Hemlock's a great wood to use for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely want to protect it because those are going to be used quite a bit. And you want some durability on that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We might actually get an opportunity to go to the shop, have it built, and then get it stained and then get it installed on site.
There you go.
So that'll look pretty sweet, man. So we're getting close to the end of that. It's been a good story and we want to share all of it. So I'm excited about it.
Well, it's a fantastic project and it's been really cool to have you guys out there filming it to show people
What really goes on?
Simple as that. What really goes on?
Yeah.
Great description.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon on the show and on site as well, too. So
sounds great, Manny.
Thanks, man. We're out of here.